Hello. You guys hear me? Oh, my camera moved. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, I can hear you.
Good. I can see you. Is it? Oh, five other people. Annette's on. Hi, Annette.
Hi.
Who else is on? Let's see. Kimberly, Annette, 214, and Valerie. Which Valerie? Is it Valerie in Houston or Valerie in somewhere else?
Valerie in Houston.
Valerie in Houston. Great. Awesome. Is your weather getting any better?
Our weather's good today.
Yeah. Good. I'm hoping. Yeah.
Nice to thaw out a little bit.
I know. It's been, we don't live in Texas because we want to be cold, do we? I mean,
it's been awful.
I mean, that's what got me sick. I left from being in Florida where it was 75 and I was at a conference and we got a half day off the last day. I was out in the sun and feeling good. And then I came home and it was 17 degrees. And I started coughing and, anyway. I'm home. I just literally just got off the plane, got home about 20 minutes ago from San Diego.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll do my little sob story. So I had caught this cold then and I was fighting it. And then I got on a plane. Everything was better. I got on this plane to go out to San Diego a week ago and I got there and it was like cold there. I was like, it's going to be warm in California. And it was cold there. And I'm like, every time the cold air went in my, so I started coughing again. I'm like, okay. So I, you know, nurture myself and go to bed every night at 10:30 and then get up every morning and meditate and feeling better. And then I was starting to sleep and not cough all night. And then yesterday I had to do a speaking gig in, Palm Desert. So I had to drive 2.5 hours from San Diego to Palm Desert, which, you know, it was a beautiful, beautiful ride. And I wished I was out there because it was 75 degrees out. And, I got there. Everything's good. I picked up, went into my hotel and the place where I'm going, the speaking is 2 minutes away. So I get out in the car. I start to drive and I'm hearing clunk, 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 clunk. Like I have a flat tire, but if I stop to call AAA, I'll miss my speaking gig. It's only 2 miles away. Okay, clunk, 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 slow down, going 25 miles an hour. I get there and I look at the tire and I mean, it's like completely destroyed. I go, oh, no. Okay, so I call Sky, text Scott. I said, just call AAA, whatever they have to do to come out and fix it. I got to go speak. So I go speak. And I got to speak to somebody and he said, no worries. Just do your speaking thing. Let us know when you're done. We'll send somebody out then. We can't really send somebody out while you're in there. I said, no problem. He was very sweet, very nice. I call back the number he tells me to call. These people were like the meanest people I've ever spoken to. Well, we don't know if it's going to be covered. We're going to have to call the manufacturer and it could be 2 hours before we can get anybody out there. I said, you don't understand. I am alone in a parking lot in a country club. I'm not waiting 2 hours. And your guy, and what do you mean it might not be covered? So I get in there. I'm like, I want to talk to your supervisor. So I have the supervisor call me back. She was a worse bitch than he was. Like, oh, well, you're going to have to calm down, ma'am. I said, you know what? I spoke to somebody 2 hours ago. He was very pleasant. He told me what to expect. He did not say it was going to take 2 hours because if he did, I would have said, you send somebody out now and in 2 hours, I'll be done and I'll be ready to take care of it. Oh, she went on and on. Then she calls me back and says, sorry, it's not covered. Like, why didn't you tell me in the first place, you know, ma'am, your quickest thing is going to be called AAA because, you know, we don't usually cover these things. No. So then I had to call AAA. Fortunately, AAA is 30 minutes and they were so, are you safe? Are you okay? We'll get somebody there as soon as possible. Like night and day, right? Night and day. And the people at this place are like calling me up. Are you okay? Is somebody come get you? You can come here. We can, I'm sick, but it got cold and I'm wearing a dress because it was 75 degrees, but you know what the desert does at night, right? So I fortunately had my big heavy winter coat in the car and I'm putting that on. But the cold air is going in my throat. Oh, man. Started me coughing again. And I'm like, oh, no. I just want to go home. Just take me home and put me to bed. Anyway, I'm home. And here I am. So if I start to cough in the middle of this, I should be okay because I just had my nice big cup of cordyceps tea. And actually, it was chaga. And I should be okay. But anyway, I'm here. Whatever you guys need, ask me questions. If I don't know the answer, I'll type them in. I mean, if I can't talk, I'll type them in. But I should be okay. I'm on the mend. I hear that this whatever flu or whatever, I don't believe in the this is going around crap. I usually just don't buy into that, but that's what everybody's telling me. There's this really nasty flu going around. That's probably what I have, but because I'm so healthy in general, I only got a mild version of it. Who knows? But I went to the store. I bought vitamin D. I did everything I told people to do. I'm taking like a ton of vitamin D. I'm taking vitamin C. I bought all kinds of herbs. I was laying there in my hotel room with like 14 herbs sitting there and like, pom, 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 pom. So I should
Dr.
be.
Rita Marie?
Yes.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
I wanted to know what would cause ferritin to be elevated?
It depends. A lot of things. Inflammation can cause ferritin to be elevated.
What's the mechanism behind that?
The mechanism? I mean, there's a number of mechanisms. It actually, you'd have to look at some liver pathways, but ferritin is a storage form of iron. It needs, the iron needs to be reduced in order to be converted to ferritin. There could be an issue with that over happening. It depends on what the level of iron is. So if it's just elevated ferritin, well, hemochromatosis obviously is the most common cause.
Just the elevated ferritin. There's a lot of inflammation and there's congestion in the liver.
Well, there you go. It's probably from the congestion in the liver.
Okay.
So, but the iron is normal?
Yes, the iron is normal.
Okay. So you've got a couple of things when you're dealing with iron ferritin. What most docs don't realize is those are functional tests and you need both of them. Because if you just know what the iron level is, you have no idea about ferritin. If you just know ferritin, you don't know the iron. What you expect, right? The mechanism you expect is if the ferritin is high, you would expect the iron to be high. That the body is just like pulling the iron, but it just keeps elevating the ferritin and there's too much. But what we see a lot is normal iron and high ferritin, which, I mean, that could be a normal mechanism as well, that there's just way too much iron. So you want to, first of all, obviously look, is the person taking in too much iron? Are they using iron cookware? Are they taking iron supplementation? And the normal mechanism is to allow the ferritin to go up and keep the serum iron normal. But what we see a lot of the times is we see low serum iron and high ferritin. That means something totally different than if we see elevated serum iron and elevated serum ferritin. When I see both elevated, I start to think it could be the hereditary hemochromatosis, or it could be heterozygous as opposed to a homozygous version of it. My brother has homozygous. He's homozygous. Somebody's got a phone ringing. Mute yourself if you hear your phone ringing in the background.
Sorry, that's me.
Oh, that's you. Okay, so my brother has hereditary homozygous. He has his ferritin has gone into the 800s, so he's had to reduce it via bloodletting, and he goes and has his blood drawn every month. He goes and donates blood, and he's gotten it down. He always teases me that he has to quit eating spinach because that's the cause. I'm like, well, yeah.
What could be a danger of too high ferritin? What could happen besides the inflammation?
Liver. I mean, it could completely kill out your liver. Absolutely. The inflammation will destroy the liver. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the danger that he's posed with, and he's constantly having to bring it down. I mean, for him on a good day, ferritin is in the 200s. That's like they're thrilled when his ferritin is in the 200s and his iron is less than 200 as well, 150 or so. So what are the numbers? How high is another question, right? Is it a functional thing or is it something you really do need to look at in terms of hemochromatosis?
It was actually a lab value high, so it was very high.
Like over 200, over 400, over 800?
It was 400 and something.
That's high. Right.
Yeah.
So I would be testing genetics to see if there's, it's probably a hemochromatosis.
But even though the iron itself is low?
Is it low or is it normal? I mean, is it below?
Well, normal, but functionally low, but quote unquote lab normal.
Lab normal, but functionally low. So below 80, basically.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, See, that's a different mechanism. Okay. So that mechanism can be that the iron is not being converted to the proper form, or it's being overconverted. It's being overconverted. So, you know, I would still, you want to rule out that is it, whether it's a genetic hemochromatosis for sure. But if you're saying this person has liver problems, is it at elevated AST, ALT, LDH?
Both. AST and ALT.
In how high a range are they?
Not that high, just around 35. So not that high.
So just, you know, functionally high, but
yeah, just functionally high. Not lab high. You know, but I was thinking of actually doing a genetic panel, because the other thing that was high was his B12. And even though he said he was doing a little bit of B12 supplements, I mean, the values were 2000 something, which was extremely high.
So, you know, when I see that, I think that the person's not methylating, because their
serum
levels are staying high and they're not actually getting it into the tissue. So
I'd
be looking at that. And a lot of people say, oh, they stopped taking B12. No, they have to switch off forms of B12, but they have to, get activated B12 into their tissues.
So,
yeah.
Well, I said that the first thing we were going to do was to take him off of the supplementation. Just to make sure that it's not that, even though I think that level is much too high to be just simply from a little over the counter supplementation.
Yeah.
But then the next thing I wanted him to do was to do the genetic testing to make sure that, like you said, it's not a methylation issue.
Yeah. And you got to be careful with because people just go and take, well, methylated B12, it's the best thing to do. And if they have COMTs and they have, you know, the, VDRs and other SNPs, MAOs, that can create an anxiety situation for them, because the extra methyl donors don't have any place to go because those pathways are blocked. So you got to be super careful. If nothing else you learn from genetic stuff is you've got to be super careful about just blanketly putting somebody on a methyl B12. I always start everybody, no matter what, if I know their genetics, I can be less, frugal about it, but I'll just get like liposomal B12 and have them start with a drop, two drops, three drops, and increase it gradually, especially if this is somebody who is prone to anxiety. And I've seen people, docs, just go, oh yeah, we know about it, testing MTHFR, and that's all they test. And then they put somebody on 5 grams or 15 grams of, or milligrams, sorry, of grams would be ridiculous, but, 15 milligrams of B12. Right? That can throw somebody over the top. And we saw it. We saw it with somebody in our ERC program. Like it just totally, it hurt badly. And she had to go off, and it took like several months to get her back to baseline. So you do have to be super careful with that. And if they are taking a B12, obviously with the level that high, I would stop it for a while, but I would be looking at, before just jumping right into methyl B12s, looking at the other forms like hydroxy and adenosyl.
Thank you.
Yeah. And look at MCV as well, and homocysteine.
The homocysteine was elevated also.
Homocysteine's elevated also, which is what? That's a B12 deficiency, right?
Yeah, that's why I said that I was looking more at the genetic factor, because I didn't believe that it was just the supplementation. And so I looked at it as a deficiency, actually, ironically.
Yep. I have to tell people that a lot. Yeah, you have high B12, but all your other signs, your functional signs, say you have low B12. So it's, and that's the beauty of understanding these pathways. Right? It's not a one size fits all.
Would that affect the magnesium as well? Because the magnesium was elevated.
You know, it's really rare to see somebody who is
not. I know, that was so odd. Usually you see a deficiency of magnesium.
Right. RBC magnesium is what you really want to look at, or WBC magnesium, but serum magnesium isn't really that, it's not that telling, because that's not the compartment where the magnesium is stored. So again, that could be a functional lack. I would be looking at a red blood cell magnesium, and that you can usually get that through Quest, but I know you can get it through like Genova or other companies like that.
Now, would it be better to just do an OAT test as opposed to doing a genetic panel?
Well, I mean, they're different things, right? So the oat is going to give you functionally what's going on. So you'll get MMA, you'll get functional levels of the various vitamins, fig leaf for folate, et cetera. So you'll be able to see functionally how they're doesn't really look at the minerals all that well. I mean, that you'd have to look at something like NutriVal. But the other thing where I'm looking at, I just got the kits came in, a big box of kits came in over the week or last week from the Zoomer, the wheat Zoomer, and they have a nutrient evaluation test that's like a fraction of the price of all the others. So I'm going to run the whole thing on me. I'm going to just run $1,200 worth of tests on myself just to see how they come out and see how I feel about the reports. But from what I've seen, I think that's going to be a real cost-effective way for us to get nutrient testing for our clients without them having to spend $600 or $700 on a NutriVal or, you know, $400 on an oat.
Is that the biohealth company? Which company
is that? Called Vibrant Living, Vibrant Health, Vibrant America, Vibrant something.
Vibrant America.
Okay, yep. Good. Vibrant America. And they have the Wheat Zoomer. They have the Gut Zoomer. They have a panel where you can get leaky gut testing and the very detailed gluten pieces, all the fractions and all, and one other piece. I can't remember what the third piece is, but all for under $200, like $150, which each of those tests is like $200 a piece if you go to something like Cyrex. So I'm very excited about the potentials there. Vibrant America is the name of the company. Most people, anybody that has a license that can direct order labs can direct order from them. And if you don't, then we've got it set up so that you can order through us. I just want to run the tests and see what the process is. I've asked my team to put them on our site so that people can order them there. So I'm very excited about it. That was their goal when they created all these tests. It's like, yeah, these are great tests, except who can afford them? So they also have a neuro, It's an autoimmune brain kind of testing versus having to spend the $600 on the whole Cyrex panel. So yeah, I'm excited about what they have to offer. So if you want to hold off a little bit on that, you can. If the person has unlimited funds, then, you know, run whatever you want to run. But most people don't. Most people are, you know, they're hemming and hawing over the tests. And so if we can get a comprehensive panel that is cost effective, we're going to be able to test a whole lot more people.
Are you familiar with the LRA by ELISA ACT?
Yeah. I'm just always skeptical about all the different allergy testing. I think that, is that the one that Russ Jaffe's lab does? Or is that a different one? I can't remember.
Yes, that's Jaffe.
I have heard that one recently. I was talking, I think it was Brian Mole or Peter Osborne or one of these guys that does a lot of those testing. And he has really, really excited about that particular one. And I used to do it in the past. He said it changed a lot. It's gotten much more accurate because all of us used to do that back in the day when these tests came out. We'd go, oh, let's just, you know, double blind test these labs. We're going to send one person sample under two different names and send it to the same lab and you get back different results. And that just threw me. It just blew my mind. And I'm like, I'm not wasting people's money on this crap. You know, I'd just rather do sensitivity and provocation type testing because who wants to spend $200-$300 to get a test result when on your same sample of blood on the same day, or you send it to two labs and you get completely different results. But he was real excited about that one. I haven't looked into it. But this Vibrant America has some kind of allergy testing as well that, you know, again, I'm real skeptical about the blood allergy testing because it changes from day to day, moment to moment as to what a person's going to be reacting to. Yeah. Good questions. Okay. Who else has questions? Let me look at the chat. Let's see. Let's see. Susan, I'm not sure what you're asking. Homocysteine ? RBC Magnesium, America Neuro, Alessio Fasani helped design the gut Zoomer test. Yeah, Alessio Fasani was one of the the researchers. He's not a marketer. He's not a, you know, a clinician per se. He's a, you know, hardcore researcher. And I know that he, and I thought that other guy too, Vajani, Aristo Vajani, he's another one like that. They're hardcore researchers. And when they come out with tests, it's pretty advanced stuff. But what are you asking, Susan, about the homocysteine?
That was just when, you guys were talking about the B12, and I was suggesting homocysteine as an idea, whether or not there's some methylation issues.
Right.
And the red blood cell magnesium, it went in as you said it, and Vibrant America, NeuroZoomer, and the Fasano thing.
Beautiful.
And then the thing I wanted to ask you regarding the Vibrant America tests, do you have an idea when we might actually have our first case study on one of those tests? Might it be you?
Might be me. Get myself out there. I got to get myself to the lab to get my blood drawn. That's the biggest hang up. I have like 14 different tests I've ordered and paid for over the years that are sitting in a stack waiting for me to go get blood drawn. You would think it would be like the hardest thing in the world. It's almost as hard as mailing something through the post office to me. Like, I just don't do it. Like, I don't fill up my gas tank until I absolutely have to. You know, there's certain things I have this bad aversion to, and one of them is going and getting my blood drawn, easy stuff. So I don't know, but I know that I asked Scott to put them up on the site, and he was going to be working with, what's her name from that, Donna from the company. She came and met with me a couple of weeks ago, and he was supposed to put them up on the site. So as soon as they're up on the site, you guys can start ordering them, but I do want to do him and me and, you know, have them as case studies too. So I can't predict when that's going to be. It's just a matter of my schedule and how it works.
There's a rep here who's invited me to a gathering at one of the compounding pharmacies. Mm. It's a functional neurologist who's chiropractor and functional neurologist, chiropractic functional neurologist.
Studies Carrick, Dr. Carrick, chiropractic neurologist.
Dr. Michael Lovitch. Hmm. But anyway, he's going to talk about intestinal permeability, testing the gut zoomer, the gut-brain connection, great, and the neural zoomer. So that'll be an interesting...
That sounds great. Now, she'll do any kind of training that we want. I talked to her about coming in and doing a training. It's just a matter of maybe Lynn can be the go-to person to reach out to her. That's another thing that I just can't do. Just won't do. I can't deal with scheduling things. I have to have other people do it. I know my limitations. And if something's on my list of things to do, which is scheduling something, it just goes to the bottom of the page. I'd rather go, you know, clip my toes and get my hair, you know, whatever, my ears pierced. I mean, there's plenty of things I'd rather do than do those kinds of things. So I realize my limitations and I assign them off. So that's why Scott's setting it up on the site. Lynn can set it up with Donna to bring her in to do some training. Plus they do have training on their site. So it's just a matter of getting it worked out. Lynn is as good at that as I am bad at it.
I've been listening to some of their webinars.
Yeah.
They're really good. I really enjoyed them. So if you get on their mailing list.
We have a link that we can give people to go get on and or a place where they can go watch them. I know it's in the paper.
Well, I have one right here that I will be happy to share.
Great.
Is that the one with Tom O'Brien, Lynn?
This one is not. It's on pathogenic intestinal permeability. I don't think it's him, but I'll put the link here. You can at least listen to it. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, I was real impressed. I mean, I felt like if I ordered every single test, which I wouldn't normally order on everybody, I think it was going to cost me like $1,000 or $1,200. But that's with everything. And they do have some genetic ones that I'm going to order it anyway. It's a cardio genetic panel because given my family history of cardio, I want to see if there's any things in there. And I want to do it myself and look through to see are these different markers that are not in 23andMe or are they in 23andMe? And then we have a really beautiful chart that I can use to help people interpret them. So I'm going to be doing that. There's another cardio. Oh, there's a SIBO. I probably won't do that one on myself, but there's some kind of a SIBO, panel, which is, I forget what it is. It's a ratio of two different markers that they've found to be more accurate and less difficult to do than the breath test. Those hydrogen breath tests are like, they're brutal to get people to comply. I wouldn't comply with the recommendation. Yeah. Eat no fiber for 3 days. Eat white flour and egg yolks for 3 days. I'm like, seriously, you want me to kill myself before I do the test? You want me to go into major, you know, it's insane. So I don't recommend that. I recommend a different way to do it. And they're basically, when you do the breath test, they're looking to see that you have fermentables in there. And if you have good fiber, you might ruin the test. So anyway, there's a SIBO thing that I thought was, it sounded like a better alternative.
Our series. I'm your host, Sarah Ashman.
What's that? Who's that?
That was the pathogenic intestinal permeability link that Lynn just sent.
Great. Super. And we'll find in the paperwork she sent me, it had a lot of links to, they have tons of education on their site. Plus they'll come in and do some special education for us. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Their marketing is excellent and they just have chock full of information. And, you know, when you mentioned the price point for all the tests, I mean, that's a drop in the bucket.
Drop in the bucket.
All the other tests.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it was like $149, I think, for the intestinal permeability plus the full gluten panel. And I know that's the gluten alone is like $250 or $300 with Cyrex. And then the intestinal permeability is $225. So it's just minimally half, going to be half the price of what it would cost to do them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is the access for ordering it on the resource page for NEPT?
It will be on the regular order page that we have, which is on our client site, but you guys all have access to it. I don't know if it's up yet. I gave it to them about a week and a half ago to do, but no, unless I micromanage, things don't often get done.
I just haven't seen it. And yeah. I was looking at it just a couple days ago.
Well, Scott was going to meet with Donna to make sure that he had all the instructions correct so that when he put it in. Right. So it's not there yet, but it hopefully should now. Now, if you're able to order other tests directly, make accounts, you can just, I would say all of you, just contact them and say, hey, I'm working with Dr. Rita Maria Thick. Can I set up an account? And you should be able to. Just give it a try. We'll see if she's got that set up. Do you have a contact information for her or where she recommends they check? I mean, there may be some folks who have no licensure, no certification at all that they do, you know, they're going to.
Well, that was one of the things that we were going to be working on.
No, but she said that's no problem. You know, right. I got the impression from her that they just need to just contact them and find out. If they turn you down, then you'll go through us.
Well, Dr. Rita Marie, I signed up with them and I was able to do two tests for one of my clients.
There you go.
I did the Weed Zoomer and I did the food sensitivity.
Great.
And I actually got to see Donna when she was in town last week and she brought the information about the micronutrients test.
Beautiful.
So what did you... I've been able to listen to their webcast also. So yes, very much.
And you just contacted them from meeting him at Shine? Is that
how? Yes. Yeah.
Okay, great. So I would say contact them. If you have a contact, a number, if you can share that with everybody, I would say.
I look it up and I post it in a chat.
That sounds beautiful. Sequoia said, what about testing in Canada? I mean, Canada is Canada, right? It's really a challenge to even get DHEA in Canada, let alone to do these tests. So I don't think they have that ability at this point. So, I mean, it's certainly worth asking, but I think it's pretty much strictly in the states that allow it in the U.S.
The one thing that I will point out, they will most likely want you to call the main center because then they will assign somebody in your area. So we are under Texas.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we've got.
So I have a Texas rep person, which probably won't help other people. So you might want to just contact the company direct and see who is the rep.
So it's Vibrant America. If you have the main, I think if you just do a Google search on Vibrant America.
Yeah, that's how I found my rep.
Okay, perfect. So two of you have already been able to set it up. So I think we're good to go, you know?
And yeah, and just a feedback for you guys. I was very happy with the Weed Zoomer. It was really, really good. So everything that it's coming in, the guy had no sensitivity to wheat at all or gluten, but he had leaky gut from zonulin and all the other factors. So it's really, really cost effective.
Now, here's the thing about doing a Weed Zoomer. Like, I would do a Weed Zoomer and I would show up fine because I haven't had it in 30 years, right? So if you're not going to ask somebody personally, this is my stand on it, you're not going to ask somebody to go back and start eating wheat if they've been avoiding it just so they can get a positive test. You just say, look, this is what it is. Now, you can do the permeability part. But if he said basically if they do the test and they've supposedly been off of it for a while and it shows up positive, there's a good chance that there's a cross-contamination happening somewhere that they're not aware of in order for it to show up. So I personally don't think it's worth the risk of putting somebody back on a substance that they've had problems with or they suspect they have problems with to just get a positive test. And they have to be on it pretty consistently for a month in order for it to show up. So it's not worth the risk.
Right. And one more thing that I can add to the testing for the micronutrients when you were talking about the B12 and the serum level.
Yeah.
This particular test, and they are doing a test, the metamolanic acid.
Yeah.
Part. So it's more accurate than all the other tests. So.
Right. That's the gold standard for B12.
Right. Right.
See, that's how I picked up.
Learned it from you, Dr. Rita Murray.
Yes. Yes. I actually did myself. I deliberately didn't do any B12 for a year. Like, I didn't take a B complex. I didn't take any B12. I just wanted to see what would happen and how my levels would be of MMA after a year of doing that. And they were fine. So, you know, there is that whole thing about you have like oftentimes a 7-year supply, but I did my son who was like 13 or 14 at the time. And I suspected a B12 deficiency. And his MMA was off the charts. And we were able to get it within normal in 3 months. And he did it with a patch. And within about 2 hours after putting the patch on, he came to me and goes, Mom, could that stuff work that quickly? I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, this is what scared me when he said this. All the voices in my head are gone. Like, oh, I didn't know there were voices in your head. Holy cow. But he had this constant low-level chatter in his head, which made it difficult for him to focus and all this. Now he tunes in to when he thinks he needs it. He won't take B12 on a regular basis, but he tunes in because one of the things that clued me in early on that I thought B12, but I didn't follow my gut on it. When he was like, I don't know, 6, he goes, Mom, sometimes when I sit on the toilet for too long, my feet fall asleep. I'm like, oh, well, it could be the angle he's sitting, but B12, like, you know, you have this intuition that comes to you and I'm like, B12. No, it can't be B12. He's been taking B12. I've been giving him a B12 supplement. And that's his early sign. He won't take B12 for a while and then he might start to feel a little bit off. And then he sits for too long and starts to feel the little tingling in his feet. And he goes, where's my B12? I need B12. And I remember just like shipping him off to college, like bunches of bottles of B12. And he was taking the hydroxy, the sublingual hydroxy 2000, because he could take it just a couple of times a week and that would work. I don't know his genetics and he refuses to get the genetics tested. He said, look, I'm a worrier, Mom. I know I'm a worrier. And if I do genetics and I see stuff in there, I'm going to worry. And there's not much more I can do. I'm being really careful with my diet. I'm exercising because I don't want to know because I'll worry. I'm like, you know what? Fair enough. Let's just do that. I had a patient that came to me that way. And I said, I really want to do your testing because he had, you know, autoimmune disease. He goes, look, you can do it, but don't show me the results. You just tell me what to do based on the results. Don't tell me I have a higher risk of this or a higher risk of that. I don't hear any of it. Just give me the stuff I need to do as a result. He just didn't want to know. Like, and generally, my guess with those, I don't remember with this guy. I'd have to look back up. I'm pretty sure he did. Lots of GADs, MAO, you know, things that predispose people to anxiety. I have a feeling my son has all that stuff, but again, he won't. won't let me test it. So, all right. Good questions. Who else? Oh, good. Lynn put in, Eva put in Vibrant America. She put in the corporate office there. So go give them a call, set up an account. If they won't let you, then yeah. Has anyone else heard of voices in the head? Well, B12 can be connected with schizophrenia. It can be connected with, you know, other kinds of paranoia and psychoses. And so that's, as soon as he said that, I'm like, oh my God, you know, it was worse than I thought. I remember giving the kid a list of, from the book, could it be B12? I'm like, do you have any other of these symptoms? And he was like, I have all those symptoms. Like, okay. Yeah. So finally got him to do the B12. We got him on B12 and it made his teenage years bearable. I didn't know. I'd never had a teenager before. Is this normal teenage psychosis or is this abnormal? And it turned out it was abnormal. And he probably has some VDRs and other things that affect, not VDRs, MTHFRs and other things that affect the uptake. But, he wasn't willing to let me do the testing. So I just assumed because we had been giving him, here's what happened with my kids. I had been giving them, I was just give them a B12 supplement like a couple of times a week, just have them take some sublingual B12. And when he got to be about 10, he said, Mom, if my diet is so healthy, why should I need supplements? And I tried to explain to him life and soil and, you know, bacteria in your gut and not having the right microbiome and B12, it's not in the, you know, I tried to explain all this to him. He goes, I'm not taking supplements. And he stopped when he was 10 and he developed these B12 symptoms at about 13. So anyway.
Dr. Rita Marie?
Yes.
Do you know if the NEPT program will be able to qualify us for the International Health Coach certification?
I don't know about that. Lynn is who's looking into all those different certifications. I'm sure she's aware of it. And she's been looking into getting us accredited with a lot of different organizations. The problem with all those things is it takes a long time to go through all their paperwork. But Lynn, do you have any comments about that? I know she's at the airport right now, so she may not be able to say, but she was looking into it. And she's also looking into holistic nurses. And I know we have NANP. We've got it for both IRSPT and CMDS, and we will have it for the full program very shortly.
What is NANPT?
NANP is the National Association of Nutrition Practitioners.
So we could get certified as a nutritionist?
Well, through them, you take their test. Our course will qualify you to sit for their test and get their certification, assuming you pass their test. And Lynn has all the details on that.
So I can just ask Lynn about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, you can get it for CMDS or IRSPT, but you have to finish. We have to give you the certification. Like, we've certified you as you finished, you know, did all the tests and all that. And then we can give their name, your name or whatever, their certification. She knows the exact things. I can't deal with details like that. My brain doesn't go there. It's just not in my realm. That's why Lynn does all that. Looks like, Janine has her hand up. You want me to unmute you? There you go.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Okay, so I finally got access to my mom's labs,
mm-hmm.
and just curious because I had posted about this sore on her leg, mm-hmm. and so she went to the doctor yesterday, and he said it was psoriasis, mm-hmm. and what I know from that is obviously through diet.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got to her labs from her endocrinologist, who refuses to check her antibodies for me, from last September, December, her TSH has gone from 1.5 to 3.560. Mm. The free T4, was last year 0.99 and now it's at 1.01. Okay. And the vitamin D is back down to 36, where I had it up to 45.
Free T4 is actually better, a little bit better. I like to see it, you know, one or above, ideally 1.2 to 1.4, 1.3 to 1.5, that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I was looking at the TSH, how that's been rising from 1.5 to 3.5.
Is it consistently been rising, or is it up and down?
She only checks it once a year. Yeah. So,
because one of the things I just want to throw out there as a classic for autoimmune thyroid is if you see somebody who are their TSH is bouncing all over the place, up and down and all over the place. Mm-hmm. And the docs don't usually check the antibodies. I remember seeing somebody and she said, well, my doctor says my TSH is sometimes good and sometimes bad. And it got gone from 1 to 3 to 7 to 4. And it's all over. I said, you have an autoimmune disease. She says, what? I said, this is classic, classic. The up and down, the TSH is all over the map. And sure enough, I had her test TPO and ATT and she had autoimmune.
I think it's been steadily climbing because I tried to go back a few years while we ran the call.
To check that, steadily climbing.
Well,
1 point.
But I mean, she's diabetic, so I mean, she's type 1, type 2, so we know it's autoimmune.
Yeah.
And now the psoriasis, all of her labs from the kidney specialist, they're all high. I mean, she's totally dehydrated. The potassium, serum, creatinine, bun, everything is all jacked up right now.
So is she open to diet? I think this is the biggest hassle you have, right? Is with your parents. And is she going to make the changes when her doctor is not saying you need to?
Yeah. Well, with the psoriasis, she just told me today, I said, well, you really need to go gluten-free. We've gone from Costco bagels, at least to organic bagels. That doesn't help, but you know, it's just beating my head. But it's just also for me a learning process. I thought, well, because I have other people that have thyroid problems, potential clients, and so I'm trying to learn. So, and I can't, this is extra stress going on around here right now. So I was just curious about the TSH climbing when the free T4 is staying steady.
Well, I would also look at the T3, right? So you want to look at the ratio between the T4 and the T3. T3 plays into it as well. So it's the pituitary's reading and going, oh, the T4 is good. I'm okay. But if it's like maybe one goes up and the other goes down, it's getting a composite. Nobody knows exactly the algorithm at the pituitary uses to read it. But we know that either or both, a low level of either or both can cause a problem. And I would be definitely looking at the free T3 as well.
The last one.
Where that is.
The free T3, I checked that and it was at a good range. That was over a year ago.
Yeah, but you have to test them at the same time as each other.
In
the master tracker, right after the lab, there's a sheet that's called the thyroid scale diagram.
Yeah, I saw that today. I was reading, listening to the video.
You put that down. There's some, you know, Dr. Ryan's site has a lot of good information, but you look for how well aligned these things are, right? Mm-hmm. Clearly, if the T4 is 1.1, the free T4 and the TSH is 3 point something, you're going to see a lack of alignment. The TSH will be over here, the T4 will be here. But then if you also have the T3 down here, then you're also looking at a conversion issue. So that's why it's important to get all of the things done at the same time so you can compare it. Just because if there is an autoimmune thing going on, you're going to see lots of variations from one time to the next. So you can't compare the T4 and the T3 on two disparate dates and make any sense of it, you know?
Yeah. And she flat out refused. They tested her 10 years ago for antibodies and she said, we don't test it again. And I was baffled because she's actually now going gluten-free to heal her endometriosis.
Oh, she is.
And I said, but you won't check my mother?
Oh,
you don't suggest gluten. Doctor. Because I told her a year and a half ago, go gluten free.
So here's what I would do. So if you can.
To me, there's not much I can do. And I'm trying to learn from off of these. But I see her declining. And just with the psoriasis, it's like if you want this pain, you know, because psoriasis is going to start popping up in other places.
Well, also it can turn into an arthritic condition as well, the combination of psoriatic arthritis, right, where the joints get affected, and then disabling. Disfiguring as well as disabling.
Well, I notice her brain too. So, and that's been a big debate. So,
you know, this is the big frustration that we have is family's the hardest, first of all. Mm-hmm. People outside the family, you can make really good cases for helping them to understand how the body's working. Parents don't want to listen. I mean, I've lost my mother as a result of all this. I did a talk yesterday where I shared the story of how my mom was afraid to take vitamin C. Told her every time you smoke a cigarette, at least take a vitamin C 100 milligrams to make up for what you're doing. Yeah. Didn't take it. Was afraid it might be cause a negative problem, but she had no problem with continuing to smoke.
Right.
And so it has to be coming. It's getting better. When we look at where things were 35 years ago when I first started doing all this to now, there's been progress. It's nowhere near enough progress, right? And you know that because I go into the little store at the airport going, I don't have any food with me. I ran out of food. Let me find something to eat here. And I walk out and go, I guess I'm going hungry, right? Because what the public is being offered is what the big food companies are paying to get sponsored. And it's come a ways, but it hasn't. It's still like maybe instead of this small group of people, it was like this big when I started doing this. Maybe it's this big.
Yeah.
We have our work cut out for us. And public education is the biggie. I believe that we all need to be getting out there and just informing people about the so-called healthy foods that they're being told are good for them are not. Explaining to them how the doctors don't learn anything about nutrition, and don't wait for your doctors to tell you, do this now. You're going to be ahead of the curve and you're going to save your life. And I think it's just a matter of us learning. And like we talked to Tony the other day, right? She was talking about the whole compliance issue, and she realized, she wrote to me after, she goes, I forgot to mention to people, this is what I did for 30 years in the government, is I'm a compliance specialist. No wonder this is where I'm moving, you know, in that direction of, is helping people to actually do it and inspiring and getting people motivated to care whether their doctor shares it or not. And I think a big piece is, do you want to stay on this curve of decline and disease, or do you want to beat it? You know, and like I said, mom is going to be the hardest one, and I know it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. If there's a way to get through.
Yeah, she, I mentioned a few things to her, and I forgot what it was about, the heart and stuff and staff. She said, well, maybe I don't want to live any longer, you know?
My mom had that comment.
She doesn't. But, you know, I educate her kidney doctor. So.
And you're making you're making headway no matter as long as you keep opening their hearts, their minds. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know it's an uphill battle.
Yeah. So, especially with cancer, you know, he knows it's glyphosate. So, it's all that crap. Okay. Well, I was just trying to gather some information. And then for on the health tracker, actually, on the health tracker page, there's more videos to learn how to input the thyroid one, because I was using the one in the ERC program. There was a video. So
should be a bunch of videos, one for each of the pages in that master tracker.
Okay. I wasn't on that direct page. I was in another one.
Okay.
So you were going through for your ERC.
The one with the
thyroid
diagrammer. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. Okay. You just line your numbers up and you see it being off. And if you go to the link that I have on Dr. Ryan's site, he's constantly updating his stuff with it too.
Yeah. One last quick question. I started taking the liquid vitamin A.
Yeah.
And would that increase my appetite? Hmm. Because you know, I don't have an appetite. And now I just started taking it past week, and then I took 20 yesterday. And I was hungry. I'm going to research that, because I'm like, what have I done different? I've added, you know, riboflavin, fatty acid, but since the vitamin A, all of a sudden I knew it was gut healing. And I'm like, wow, I have an appetite. So yeah, I'm going to research that. And I thought,
yeah, let us know. I don't see a direct correlation other than, like you said, the gut healing and membrane.
And pain also. I have not. Usually I take half one of my Vicodin in the morning. I went like 2-3 hours before I actually was in pain. And I'm like, what's going on?
Well, here's what I would recommend to you. I mean, I know you were saying about your, about cirrhosis. And yeah, I mean, when I'm trying to help somebody help fight off the flu or whatever, 500 or 1,000 milligrams, 100,000 I use for 3 to 5 mm-hmm. days. Shouldn't be a problem. But what I would do if I were you, I would test the levels. I mean, you easily test the D, you can test the A just as well. Mm-hmm. And if your A is low, you know, we should be looking at A more, because
so I can lab test the A.
You can lab test it just like D. It's inexpensive. It's probably 30, 40, 50 bucks. I'm not sure exactly how much. You can lab test it and then shoot for keeping it wherever it needs to be. We don't have to go like, oh yeah, 5,000. That's all I can take because that's what the RDA is. No, you see what your liver can tolerate, and you can phase it in and out, you know, to give yourself a break. But I think I think we should all be looking at that a little bit more, just because there's a lot of things like vitamin A is so important for thyroid receptors, right? The thyroid receptors require good levels of vitamin A. And so I think that's probably a test that we should be looking at it more.
Lynn sent me a paper probably last year on healing the liver, like reversing it. And I've got to find that paper because I think it was using vitamin A. And of course I know vitamin E, but I have to watch it because I don't want to thin out my blood.
You also don't want to overtax your liver if your liver is already stressed. So that's where testing comes into place.
Yeah. My labs are so good. It's, you know, you've seen them. I don't know if you remember, but I mean, nobody knows I have cirrhosis unless you do a CAT scan. And even the last CAT scan didn't even show the cirrhotic.
Well, then
much,
maybe so. you're healing. Maybe you should stop talking about your cirrhosis as being an issue that is there, as if it's like I have brown hair.
Yeah. No, normally I don't talk about it, but because I know vitamin A can be pretty powerful, I just wanted to refresh in that because I wasn't sure and I wasn't feeling good and I wanted to nip this flu in the bud.
Oh, totally get
so,
it.
Because you even told me, you're like, Janine, you didn't even write down your cirrhosis.
Well, that's
one
good.
Of my problems. Yeah, nice. Yeah. So,
because you, if we think that we have this condition, maybe you have reversed it, right? Maybe you've already, all the things you've done is taken it from this stage to this stage. Maybe there's still a little stuff there, but it doesn't matter. So that's what I want to open up your possibility. All of us, the possibility that we think that you had this disease and it stays there. Screw it. I don't believe in that. You know?
Yeah. There's scarring, you know, and that's the only thing that they always worry about, the dead cells turning cancerous. So that was kind of embedded in my head. But otherwise, I don't really think about it anymore.
Good for you.
You know, it's not, you know, I'm more worried about, you know, the brain antibodies. So working on that and going gluten-free.
Well,
all
the
gluten-free,
yeah. We've
cutting
been talking
the dairy.
About that for a long time. That,
yes. Yeah. Yep. Okay, thank you very much.
You're very
Have
welcome.
A good day.
Yes, thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye.
I see Tony just came on. Hey, Tony. Unmute. Let's see.
I've been on for a while. I actually have a comment in the chat about thyroid.
Thyroid, okay.
Thyroid panel.
Why would total T3 be excluded? Well, I never surprised anymore. They usually leave out free T3. They usually leave out total T4. It doesn't make any sense. The reason it's excluded, because if the doctor ran it, doesn't have full knowledge about how the thyroid actually works, then, and they don't know how to interpret, they just run whatever the lab runs for them.
Oh, wow. Well, I suspect she has a conversion issue. And of course, that would tell us a little something. So,
So if you have you don't have free T3. Yeah. See, they leave out T3. They leave out total. So here's my view of it. If you can only get a few things done, you have to think about function, right? So the thyroid makes T4. Wouldn't we want to know how well the thyroid is functioning? That's what it makes. 90% of what it makes is T4, and that would be the total. We need to know that, right? Yes. Do we need, because is the problem a supply issue? Is the problem a conversion issue? Is the problem a receptor issue? Right? Those are the three main things we're looking for. There's others, but so we want to know what the supply is, total T4. Okay. We want to know what the cells are actually seeing, hopefully seeing, right? And that's free T3.
Yeah.
So total T4, free T3, right? The one thing we can't look at is receptors. But that, I just always assume. I assume you've got a receptor issue until proven otherwise, right? And I'm going to work as if. I'm going to look at vitamin A. I'm going to look at homocysteine. I'm going to look at cytokines, inflammatory markers, right? We're going to do everything we can so that those receptors are open. Because if you go and you look and you go, oh, it's a supply problem. Their T4 is only 5.7. They're not making enough. Oh, let's see. Is it iodine? Is it this? Is it that? Let's get them to make more. Right. And now they're making more, but they're not converting it.
Right.
Or now they're making more and they're converting it. But you can't, the receptors aren't accepting it. So we have to look at all those pieces. The reason that most docs don't do it all is because they don't understand how it works. How do I know that? Over and over again, the MDs who take this program say to me, oh, it makes sense now. Why didn't they teach us this in medical school?
Well, this has been very helpful for me because I was like, oh, you know, what if it is a conversion issue? But I like the idea of just going for the receptors themselves and addressing that. Mm-hmm. Even without the T3.
Yeah. So you start with that. You start with addressing the receptors for sure. Mm-hmm. If you know what the total, they do give you a total T4 here. So you know what the total T4 is. Now that could be 6 to 12. That's the functional range. It could be at the low end. It could be at the high end. Right. But what really matters is how much of that is it being activated.
Yes.
So if you don't have total T3 or you don't have free T3, you have no idea.
Well, I'm suspecting that I may ask her to go ahead and this test was done about a week ago, maybe, and ask her to go ahead and do a T3 standalone.
You could, but again, like I was saying to Janine earlier, I would rather see if you're going to do it, do the T4, T3 on the same day.
Okay. So we can right,
just to make sure.
Right. Storage usage.
See what the angles are and ideally TSH, T4, T3. That way you can map it. The scale diagrammer, but you've got, it looks like you had free T4. Now, so the other piece that they just miss out on is you got to look at the ratio between the total produced and the free.
Yes.
All right. So if the total T4 is 12, which is at the high end of the functional range, and the free T4 is 0.9, which is at the low end of the functional range, there's a problem here. Right? There's too much of it is staying bound.
Right.
What can that be? Do you remember what one of the things that can cause that is?
Too much protein attached to it?
Well, it's too much protein, right? Too much of the thyroid binding globulin. Mm-hmm. But what kind of things can cause too much thyroid binding globulin?
It's escaping me now.
It's a big one. And it's very common in the women of reproductive years. Excess estrogen. So you have to look at, are they on birth control pills, right? Okay. Have they had one of those pellets stuck in their butt? Well-meaning doc said, yeah, you need more estrogen. And they stick a pellet in their butt and hope for the best for 6 months.
Okay.
Right?
To look at.
And then you also look at the standard American diet, right? Are they drinking water from plastic and leaving it in the car in the heat? Right. And getting those phyto or xeno estrogen elevated. That's going to cause it as well. Do they have a whole mouthful of dental amalgams?
You know what? You've got me thinking now. She works at the herb shop where I do consultation and she's tattooed up the yin yang. Oh, now thank you. It's a lot of toxicity.
It's a lot of toxicity. Yeah. Right. And you want to look at estrogen.
Yeah.
Dominance. So you can run a Dutch test. You can run a serum estrogen. I'm not crazy about serum estrogens because it's like, which one are you going to run? Estradiol, estriol, estriol, right? So Dutch test, great place to look.
Okay.
Is she estrogen dominant? And it may be that she doesn't have too much estrogen. She just doesn't have enough progesterone. That creates estrogen dominance, which is going to affect thyroid binding globulin.
But the toxicity would not be an issue as well?
Toxicity definitely is an issue.
Okay, but we, so I'll look at both. I'll look at, I'll see what.
Right, but now she's tattooed. What the hell are you going to do about that? I mean, other than put her on a detox, you can't get her to remove her tattoos.
Oh.
So you're going to have to look at, okay, what are some of these chemicals in here? How do we help the liver to support and get rid of? But seriously, they're there. You can't get rid of tattoos. That's the thing people have to think really carefully before you go and, you know, paint up your body. I was just like devastated when my son went out and did that. 18 years old, as soon as he turned 18. Big old tattoo. I'm like,
Wow, the rite of passage, I think.
I know. But it, you know, it's problematic.
It is. I also wanted to share something that might be helpful for, was it, who was last speaking with us about family member not complying?
Janine, mama.
Okay. Hi, Janine. All right, Janine. So this may be very encouraging for you. I'm working with a family member and she wants to lose weight, about 60 pounds. And we always, I always go with my family members with the same thing I do with my clients. We have to change mindset. And so every week I say, hey, did you do your big Y? Did you do your big Y? And she didn't. And so today I said, well, we're not moving any further. We're going to spend a half hour. We're just going to go over your big Y. By the time we got to the end of it, she was super excited, super excited. Now she wants it because she didn't. She went from, I just want to lose weight, have energy and feel good in my clothes to, I want to be a photographer. She's a great photographer, but I want to be a photographer and be able to analyze the world from my lens. That's huge. But it took me 4 weeks to get her to that point, and I just finally put a stop sign up. I'm not doing anything else for you until you sit here and just chat with me about this.
This is where you differ from most of us, because most of us don't have the courage to do that. And I think that's where we draw the line and say, I care about you.
Yes.
And I'm not willing to do this. So many times I see it on the Facebook group a lot. There's certain people who do it more than others. I won't name names, but nobody that's on right now. But where people say, well, I have this person and they're not willing to change their diet and they have this, this, and this. What else can I do? And I say, find somebody else to work with them. I don't have any magic bullets to hand you. There are none. If they're not willing to change their mindset, they're not willing to change their diet. Yeah, you know you're going to work with them and you got to go at whatever pace. But you know what I tell people? I'll help you go at whatever pace you need. But if you have cancer or if you have a raging autoimmune disease, I'm going to warn you, you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
Right? You've got to, let's just step this up. Right? I wish somebody had sat my mom down like this. Right. I wish there was somebody who she respected other than me because she didn't respect me and said to her, look, you know, we now need to test your homocysteine. We need to test some of these other little markers. And you know what? Those cigarettes have to go. You know what? The charbroiled meat that you're eating three times a week, it's got to go. Right. Look at your genes. You can't detoxify it. Had somebody sat down with her who cared enough to piss her off.
Yes.
Right? You got to care enough to piss them off. Because if you don't care enough to piss them off, you're just lollygagging around it.
Yeah.
And you're not going to save their life. And if somebody had done that, I swear my mom would be alive right now. She'd be 84 years old. She would be grateful.
Yes.
And she wouldn't have died happy. She said to me, I just want to die happy. I'm like, really? What does that mean? She goes, you know what? I don't want to have to give up all the things I love. I just want to die. And I said to her, you know what? That's typically not what happens. Look at this person. They've got lung cancer. Look at this person. They have emphysema. Fortunately for my mom, she got her wish.
Yeah.
She went out and she gardened. She came home back in the house and ate lunch. She laid down and she died, 56. Wow. It was way too soon. She could have been happy another 20 years.
Gosh.
Right?
That's my age. I mean, I can't even imagine being gone.
When my mother, I have a picture that I show in my presentations now is of me at that same exact age. It was 56 and 4 months. And it just happened on this picture and it like riveted me when I did. at my 56 and 4 months, I was dropping my son off for his first year of college. Mm-hmm. And I get teary-eyed when I think about that, because imagine if I'd taken her route, what that kid would have, you know, gone through college, now he's off to grad. I mean, he wouldn't have mom to share that with, right? Yeah. And we don't think, we all, it's really helping people, I think, part of it is helping them to see the impact of their choices on others in their life who they love. Yeah. But my mom really felt the impact of her passing on my 13-year-old sister at the time. Like being left without mom at 13 and then being left without dad 2 years later. And then another 10 years later, guardian, my sister, dies of cancer. Mm-hmm. My sister, my youngest sister, who's 20 years younger than I, had to lose three parents, not one. She's 41. Yeah. She's lost three parents. Wow. My mom, then my dad, then my sister who took over, being her both parents, she lost her too. Yeah. All freaking preventable illnesses. All of it preventable.
Right. And that is so very sad. And I think some of it's because we don't have the courage. And if I can encourage each of you to just don't make it about you. Don't make it about you being uncomfortable. Just go out there and do what you need to do to change those mindsets. That's what changes lives.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for doing what you do. And I loved what you said about the, like, I forgot I even mentioned I'm a compliance. That makes so total sense with where your passion is going, because you did that for 30 years in the government.
Yeah.
Let's just do it where it counts.
Yeah. You can't regulate everything. You can't regulate common sense. You can't regulate people's sense of integrity or being connected to something. But what you can do is get into their mindset. And then the regulations, it's not a problem. They'll do it. And that's how I view when we tell people, here's what you need to do. It's a regulation. Can you make them do it? Not necessarily. Just saying that's a rule is not going to make people do things. You have to get inside their heads and, well, you know, I'm just repeating myself, but thank you.
I totally get it. Because that's something that I have been for the last, 35 years since I've taken on this new lifestyle, is to look at what was different about me versus some of the people I've worked with. I spent a lot of time analyzing that. I was a junk food junkie. I was living on Pringles and ice cream and M&Ms. That was it. But something shifted when I read Herbert Shelton, Fasting Can Save Your Life, when I looked at the body in a different way, as when we're toxic. There's no drugs that counteract the toxic lifestyle. That's why the drugs don't work. It's the clean lifestyle that counteracts the toxic lifestyle and the attitudes and all that. But what was it that shifted me on a dime?
I don't know.
That's the part I want to know.
Can you recall it, that exact moment? It could, I would like to humbly say that it wasn't necessarily the left brain analytical piece. There's something else that happened.
Yeah.
We all have that information, right? We all, you know, everybody here is, you know, is brilliant. And so that's not always it. There's something that you were connected to that said, I'm going to do this for myself. And by the way, the left brain saying, and by the way, this makes sense, right?
Right.
What I'm going to do. But the right brain was engaged. There was something heartfelt.
There was a survival thing. There was a something that I wanted a quality in my life that I knew I could only get by shifting that thing. And it didn't matter. And there's a lot of it. And I know Janine has been struggling with this, and there's other people in the program are struggling with doing what they know they need to do. They have Hashimoto's, or they have some kind of autoimmune disease that they want to help with reversing. But the dietary habits have been lagging what they know they need to do. And I'm going to say that until you can make sense of it yourself and you can get in touch with your own why close enough that you're going to actually do whatever it takes, you're going to have a really hard time influencing others.
Agreed.
To take the actions that you're not willing to do yourself.
Agreed.
Because you don't agree with it, right?
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Moral of the story. Yeah. I believe wholeheartedly. It doesn't mean that you have to be 100% perfect, but I believe we have to be on the path that we want our clients to be on.
I believe that too. I believe. And you know, that this is an important thing when you're speaking. I've taken a lot of speaking stuff lately. And one of the things that's really important when you're speaking to people, whether you're doing it one-on-one with a person or whether you're doing it in a group, you know, doing a talk or doing a webinar, your I believe statement.
Yeah.
What's your I believe statement? I started out a talk I did in Palm Springs yesterday at a country club. And I told my story, you know, I said, and this is something I'm also going to share with you because I love this concept. When you're speaking to somebody, whether it's one-on-one with somebody or whether it's to a group, within the first 5 minutes, you have to establish that you're ordinary, that you're extraordinary, and your big why, your mission. Mm-hmm. When you can get that, you're hooking their heart in, you've got that audience. But if you miss that in the first 5 minutes and you go off into left brain la la land and talk about gluten antibodies and blah, 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 you lost them. You get them hooked at the heart. You're ordinary. Where'd you come from? You struggled with the same stuff. You're extraordinary. You learned all this other stuff and now you're going to help them to do it and why you do it. And I did that with this right in those first 5 minutes. And I told my story about my own health and I got me ordinary, right? I was just the M&M chugging, beer guzzling, whatever. And then I woke up, I had this wake up call and then I learned how to deal with my own issues. And I said, heck, other people need this. How do I leave my job? And I learn all this stuff. And I had to establish myself as being extraordinary. A lot of people are really good at establishing themselves as ordinary. And the little humbleness takes over. And you can't get people to follow you mm-hmm. if they just think you're ordinary. Exactly. And too many people make that mistake of being overly humble. So yeah, they have to see you as ordinary. They have to see you as extraordinary. And that's why they're going to follow you. Because otherwise they could just listen to their sister. She's ordinary too, just like them.
Absolutely.
Right?
Everybody here, everybody in your program is extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
You yep. are a vortex for attracting extraordinary people. And what Dr. Reemarie does and what I'm trying to do to support that is to help you be your brilliance, to help you not leave your brilliance on the table because you can't make a connection with people, because you're scared to make a connection, because you don't have those small tools that you need to bring out your intuition that you already have.
Exactly.
You can do this.
We all can. We all can. But yeah. You have to believe in your ordinary. You have to believe in your extraordinary.
I love that.
We all believe in our ordinary, but you have to establish it. And if you're too ordinary, they're like, why would I listen to this person? Why am I going to give this person money to help me with this? She's just like me. She struggles with this. Right, I've seen people do that, and they get up and they talk about how they ate gluten last week, and they did this last week, and they went drinking last week. But I'm going to teach you how to do this better.
Right?
Really?
Yeah. Right.
You don't have to be perfect, like you said, but you have to be on that path. Okay. And you have to show that you're ordinary and you're struggling. But the big why was the big piece. And this guy who's like an amazing speaker training, and he said people miss that. And when people can connect with why you're so passionate about doing what you're doing. I ended that story of my story, et cetera, by sharing into my mom. And I put up the picture of here's my mom 3 weeks before she died, age 56 and 4 months. Here's me at that exact same age with my son. I lost her. I lost the opportunity to do that. And I was 3 months before I graduated. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't even save my own mother. How am I going to help all these people that I have this intention for? Right? And it was devastating. I went, I have to. I will, because I have to. Because I can't let more people suffer that loss that I just endured. And I'm going to make that happen. And that's my big why. And this medical system is broken and your doctors aren't telling you right stuff. This is why I'm doing what I do. This is why I'm standing up here in front of you today. Because we got to change this.
Absolutely.
And then they go, oh, okay. Right now they're going to listen to whatever it is you have to say.
What if we could change the dynamics in dark here? What if we could change the dynamic in our story instead of saying, and I know families are hard, you know, what if we stop saying that? What if we stop saying that and setting that intention that they are hard? Because, you know, the difficulty comes from, you know, proximity of intimacy and from people knowing each other and the fear on both sides. But what if we say we can bust through that?
Yes.
And just approach it from love. You just happen to be related to me.
Yes. I agree. I agree. And I think the more we think about that, I commented on a Facebook post today where somebody was commenting on Facebook, like, and it's so hard because people have to do this and they have to do that. And I'm like, yeah. And as you explain why it's hard, that's why your people aren't following you, because you believe it's hard. I said, that stuff is nothing. It's nothing to have to make your own food and to shop for your own food. And it's nothing compared to the pain and the suffering that comes from the alternative, not doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, I would rather spend 5 hours a day making beautiful food than walking around crippled because my joints hurt me, because I'm brain fogged. I had an experience of going back into brain fog briefly when I got this cold or flu or whatever got hold of me. And I'm like, where'd my brain go? Like, this is how I used to feel every day. This is how I felt. I felt like, where's the reality? I can't capture what's really in here. And that's more painful and more work than any amount of food prep and shopping and going into the store at the airport going, I'm really hungry and I ran out of my food because I've been gone for a week and there ain't nothing here and I'm just going to have to deal with hunger. Screw it. I can deal with hunger. I've done 9-day fasts and 28-day fasts. I can deal with a few more hours of hunger, right? These are the things we have to look at. Transform what's hard. I said this to these people in this audience. I said, yeah, it's hard. I said, who here has given birth? You guys don't have to raise your hands. Who here has given birth? And a whole bunch of the women. And I said, who went back and did it a second time? And I said, if you had had to give birth, and at the end of that process, that ordeal of pushing this thing out of your body and the pain, there was nothing to show. There wasn't this amazing creature that you got to live with and love. Would you have done it again? I'm like, hell no. But the big why to do it again was, you knew it was at the other end. The big why of what? Going out there and buying the fresh food and making it instead of going down to the local fast food place and buying it is how you feel and how you show up in the world and how you get to live your mission.
Beautifully said.
And we all need to get that. We're all at different stages of that, right? And wherever you are with that, sit with it. If you're saying, oh God, this is so hard, how is that coming across to your clients? It's not hard. Suffering is hard. Pain is hard. Dealing with day after day, not being able to live your dream and your mission, that's hard. Making fresh food, giving up M&Ms, like, screw it. I ate them every day. I ate ice cream every day. Do I feel like it's a hardship to give them up in exchange for feeling energetic and bright and clear and helping people? I do it any day of the week. My son once said to me, I'd eat cardboard, Mom, if I had to. I said, but fortunately, I don't. Yeah.
Very encouraging. Very powerful.
You all have this. The skills, the technical skills are one piece of it. And that the encouragement skills, the coaching skills, that's another piece of it. But if you're having trouble coaching your clients and you're walking around saying it's hard, you got to work on you first. And I'm sure you do that in your program, right? You work on
my Coach's Corner program. That's what I do. I work on the coaches first while we're working on helping your clients, because the same tools I'm giving you for your clients, I'm asking you to do for yourself.
Exactly.
That's part of the program, the discovery, the exploration process. It is the process of not using it as shame or blame or beating yourself up, but just to to understand how you show up in the world and how you're showing up for your clients and how you can show up different. I won't say better or worse, but different. and how you can transform lives by starting to transform your own first.
Absolutely.
You got this. But thank you for.
We all have it. Thank you.
Platform. I appreciate
thank you for sparking this discussion. Discussion keeps coming up. And like I said, it came up yesterday in this talk, right? And these people resonated, right? They got it.
Yeah. Common theme.
Yeah. Cool. All right. What was this one, Tony? Has anybody seen the excuse from a full panel? What does that mean? This excuse for all markers are in the abdomen in the CSH, which is 0.6, AT3. Helpful, I suspect a conversion problem. Oh, excluded, not excused. I see what you mean. Yeah, and here's the thing. A lot of docs will think that the lower TSH is okay. That's suppression. That's pituitary suppression. It's not the lower the better on TSH. It's not. It's an ideal range, just like anything else. Yeah. And the one thing that most docs don't, they overlook, because I've said, oh, well, have you run a TRH, a TRH simulation? They're like, what? What's that? TRH, the hypothalamus, it produces it to stimulate. Oh, yeah, that sounds vaguely familiar. I've never run that test before, right? Because if you're looking at where's the problem, if you have a suppressed TSH and the person's not on medication, there could be some pituitary hypothalamic suppression. And sometimes that's related to neurotransmitters. Okay, if you look at Karazian's book, he has this whole section on the dopamine and serotonin and that suppression. So really, like, these tests give us, like, these balancing and jumping off places where we can find things that are out of whack.
Yeah. Wow, that was really helpful. Thank you for helping me help someone else.
You're very welcome. All right, let's see who else. I see Martha on here and Maria. Who else has questions? Raise your hand, just open up your mouths, ask questions.
I had a question.
Sure.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
Doing better, thank you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good to hear. I see the energy. Well, first I wanted to make a comment to Jenna on the person with psoriasis. You know, I would not raise all the hopes that just because the person is going gluten-free, the psoriasis is going to go away. Because you can put yourself into a trap. I have my best friend who has been eating as clean as a rock for a few years now, and this shit doesn't go away. And upping up her vitamins and looking into all kinds of stuff. I mean, and the thing doesn't leave her. So, you know, and she's gone to AIP, you know, it's really strict. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't lift all your clients' expectations to say, okay, you go gluten free and that's going to all be solved. That's not necessarily all be true. So I just want to make that point. Okay, the other thing I had is actually, you know, I have a talk actually in a couple weeks. I think you gave me some thoughts how to start about that because I was going to ask about that. It is just all for women, so maybe between 60 and 80 women.
Nice.
I'm going to be one of the five, and I have 10 to 12 minutes, and then we go all into a panel kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So there's women talking about mind and mindfulness and money. I'm talking about mobility, which I'm relating to mobility and brain. But mostly brain on a motivation perspective. So I think it's, I gotta write this 5-minute thing here. Ordinary, extraordinary, and yeah. Big one.
And if you've got 12 minutes total, you may have to cut that to 3 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll have to write this in advance because, you know, I will have to do the AS. The other thing is, in that event, he has given me the free opportunity to do whatever as far as, you know, I cannot speak too much about what I was selling something, but I can actually have on tables. So what do you suggest I do? I was thinking about maybe adding coupons straight into the tables for them to sign up for my energy audit. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was thinking of maybe designing something that I can say, what is your favorite options or something like that? And they can click Thursday, Friday, and evening, morning, or afternoon, or something like that. So they can just pop, 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 pop. And then I follow up with them.
It's a possibility. But here's the other thing. If you haven't don't have enough time to create enough intimacy with people, they perceive an energy audit or an enrollment conversation as exactly what it is. Right?
Yeah.
A sales conversation. Oh. So what I would prefer to see you do is as you're doing your presentation, will you have slides or is this just a speaking?
Yeah, well, I can have either. I'm thinking to have a slide just so have something in there. So
you've got the perfect opportunity because you only have 12 minutes. And at some point in your presentation, if there's something you want to give them that's more detailed, right, then you have time to explain. You can put up a very... you know, a complex looking chart.
Yeah.
That you say, if I had 30 minutes to explain this to you, I would explain this in detail because this is a critical piece of information for you. But what I'm going to do is if you give, and it either can be you have them fill out a card or you give them a URL, go to the URL, give me your name and email address, and I will send you a copy of this chart. This chart is pivotal for your health. This chart can change you. I did that yesterday in mine. I had those good, better, best swap charts, right? And I'm like, I don't have time in this presentation to explain this, but go ahead and give me your name and email address. I will send you a PDF of this, and I highly recommend you print these out and put them on your refrigerator. Okay, so think about it where it flows naturally and not at the end of your presentation, where it's
in the middle.
Right? Because at the end, they're like, oh, okay, let's move on to the next piece. Right in the middle, and you show them something, and they go, whoa, I want that. I need that. All right? And you're talking about mobility. Maybe it has to do with brain plasticity. I don't know what it is, but it's some kind of a chart that you absolutely don't have time to explain in the context of a 12-minute presentation. But you can get them, and then you can follow up with that. You send them that, and then you can follow up with a sequence of nurturing emails that then you offer them to after they've gotten to know you a little bit and you've given them all this great value. Then you go, you know, if you're interested in finding out how I can help you to, you know, increase your energy, well, we have this energy audit. Let's see where your energy blocks are and really phrase your energy audit. Like it's like, hey, we're going to just audit. I'm going to ask you some questions to see where blockages of energy can be anywhere. It could be your brain chemistry. It could be your hormones. It could be a fibromyalgia. It could be in your gut. It could be your blood sugar. I'd love to help you identify where that is so that you can take the right corrective action and sign up for this energy audit. And this is what it is. And so you describe it. You can't describe your energy audit well enough in that 12 minutes you have to get them going, oh yeah, I want that. But you could in a really nice series of emails.
Okay.
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 Another thing I want to throw out there for anybody who does any talks, this is something I recently learned too, and I absolutely love it, and it worked really well in this presentation. You come up with this, what they call a stem, like a beginning phrase. What I came up with was, every choice matters. Mm-hmm. Every choice matters in how you look, how you feel, and how you act in the world. Every choice matters. One small change today can make a huge difference in how you experience your health over the next weeks, months, and years. Every choice matters. And I can't remember the exact wording of the last one. And then I left them with, that's what I said at the very end of my presentation. Every choice matters. How are you going to choose or choose wisely or you know, some way to tie it together? But that repetitive, every choice matters, right? And if you have an I believe statement in the beginning and you have a stem like that at the end, that's the sandwich that holds it together. They're going to see, oh, I really trust this person. She's just like me. She struggles with that. Oh, but she overcame it. And she knows how to, oh, wow, every choice matters. Or you can heal yourself. Or whatever it is that's something that you really believe.
Mm-hmm.
You leave them with that. They go, oh. And that people, like, when I did that at the end, they stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. you know, and they clapped.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
Okay.
And okay. I'm charging you $7,000 for that information. That's what I
class. And that's what you got? $7,000. I got it.
I got to practice it, and I get to send him a copy of my stuff, and he'll send me back a critique. So it was a lot more, but these are the things that stood out for me because I speak a lot. And those are the things that stood out as that's going to change. Mm-hmm. The impact of what I have to say.
Yeah.
So I'll give you the highlights.
Okay. I have two cases over here, which obviously I'm not going to discuss today because I didn't put on the stuff. Do you know when is the next call that you can discuss cases?
Case
you don't?
Studies is usually it's the beginning of the month, so it's probably
also it's coming up.
Coming up next week or probably the week after next.
Okay, that's great. That's great. I also want to share something about related to the topics before. I spend so much time talking, you know, going to the mindset, you know, with these clients. And it is really a beautiful thing when we actually stick to it. You know, and I think Tony was talking about earlier, I'm not going to move forward to a certain degree. You know, I'm not that harsh, you know, but I keep pounding back and I said, look, I basically give them I can't help you that much if, you know, so they kind of, like, oh, okay, what are you going to do? You know, they feel trapped, right?
Yeah.
But I have a client, she's new. She's like the 400 plus pounds.
Mm, oh God.
Yeah, and I never work with anybody that heavy, and she's got PCOS, she's got, high blood sugar, she's got them all, and she's tried to get pregnant, obviously, the doctor's saying you got to lose weight, you know, of course. So I got her labs here too, but she has tried about every single thing, you know, to lose weight, and she did Weight Watchers for a while, and she goes up and down, and that kind of stuff. And she gained 70 pounds on a gluten-free. I think you remember I told you that.
Oh, yeah.
And so, obviously, she's got all these freaking hesitations about me taking her. And she's got thyroid, too. I think she got her thyroid removed, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
She's got Hashimoto's. I'm sorry.
But she hasn't tried everything, right?
Well, she has tried. You know, she has tried the gluten free
autoimmune.
She is actually going to the AIP diet, and I told her, you know, because she's already having blockages, right? I said, I can't do this. I can do this. I said, time out. I just don't want you to stop eating anything else right now. I just want us to actually replace this stuff first. So let's stop cutting. Okay. Let's get this on a roll consistently here.
And you're right on with the mindset here piece, right? Because that's the piece that when people have quote unquote tried everything, they lose the faith that they can actually heal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the mindset piece is such a critical piece to get them back to. And what people don't realize is it's not just about mindset and, you know, it's this ethereal thing. It actually has physiological shifts
right
in the body. It changes the biochemistry, how they think.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? And if we can, and I focus in people like her, what I've been focusing a lot is I've been putting Laura's kind of a little work on this, you know, about the, how you feel. And I'm asking her to write a lot of how she feels.
Yeah.
And I was really, and all of a sudden in 1 week, she lost 5 pounds.
Ah, nice.
And she's like, she sent me a note the day before, says, you're going to be so proud of me, you know? And I'm like, I'm looking forward. And I start reading and she's doing the fucking homework part of my language. And she's like, you know, and she's like wrote everything in my preform because I asked him to do a preform. So I have an idea, you know? And I'm like, I said, holy shit. I mean, you know, and you get in the call, this girl is like this big smile, right?
Nice.
And bingo. And then she goes into her form. And there we go, the mindset that we have to, I think, I'm using the word have, but we got to pay attention, I think, on the small words that
yes,
they put into.
The small words make a huge difference.
Yeah. And then at the end, so there is a space for her to ask questions, you know, so we can focus the session. What really can I eat, you know, if I'm eating a lot of meat, which I'm not approving all this meat, you know, she thinks that protein has to come from meat, right? But I cannot eat the pasta and this and that, the gluten, you know, the word can't. And there was something else that don't. And I just poked into those little words, you know. And before you know, she's like, hold on a second. Let's look into your list of foods that you said you liked and foods you haven't tried. So in a math, if you had six over here, you now have 36, right? So you have a lot of foods, you know. So all of a sudden, you know, it's then we kind of convert a little bit, you know, try to work with that mindset in the words. And they start, you see them, you know, kind of come alive. And I said, well, maybe there is a possibility.
Yeah. And let me just go back a section, and I'm just going to throw some biochemistry in here.
Yeah.
People who think that, okay, I'm going to go on this pasta-free, low-glycemic diet and eat tons of meat.
Yeah.
Every gram of protein over and above what the body needs as protein gets converted to guess what?
Fat.
Glucose.
No,
I wish fat.
Oh, yeah.
It's not fat. It would be helpful if it was fat. Mm. It's glucose.
Mm-hmm.
So they may not be eating glucose or high glucose foods, but because they're eating so much fat. And this is why the misconceptions about keto diets, right? People think a keto diet's a high protein diet and they're eating meat all day. That is so far from a keto diet. It isn't even funny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A keto diet is a high fat.
High fat, yeah.
High vegetable, low carb, moderate protein. And it's different from one person to the next. When I interviewed Walter Longo the other week, he was calculating it, and it comes out to be like for a 120 pound woman, it's less than 50 grams a day. Anything over than that 50 grams a day is going to get converted to glucose, right? And we're talking lean mass. We're not talking fat mass. So the 400 pound woman may be 80 pounds of lean mass.
Yeah.
Right? So we have to really be careful when we see people going that extreme on the protein.
Well, it's because, you know, and I'm telling her, and so I go to where the sources of protein are. And I told her about the insulin on the protein, and then she says, well, you know, but all my education has been that protein is from meat, and I'm concerned about my protein consumption. And I said, you don't have a protein consumption issue.
You have an excess protein consumption.
Yeah. I didn't have to say much, right? We don't have to worry about protein. As long as you're following the guidelines of getting a lot of vegetables and green, leafy green vegetables, and we add some of the seeds and some of the nuts, you're fine, you know? But it's just they come like, right? Like I always thought, you know, most of my life, that animal protein is the source of of protein.
Even if that is your main source of protein, what I'm trying and we need to get across to people is that there's no such thing as the unlimited. You can have as much as you want of protein.
Yeah.
And we have to see that excess protein can be what's contributing to the difficulty with the weight loss.
Yes. And she's controlling the amounts. She's having 4 ounces, you know, 5 ounces the most, and all that kind of stuff. But I just wanted to bring that because, and here's the other thing. And remember you and I talked about sabotage, right?
Yeah.
And I still have to send you that test. And so I think the tendency that all of us have is sometimes, you know, we're doing so well and we go and sabotage ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that people go into those journeys, they can easily do that. So I kind of ask her to pay attention how she goes. But here's the thing. So initially she says, she's so happy about she lost this weight, you know, and she feels like she's going a good path for the first time. She's doing something and she's making good choices and all that stuff. And she's like, but I'm all afraid now because I'm getting my period and I'm going to gain weight. And I said, let me tell you what I do when I get my period, because I don't know when my period is coming because I barely have any pain anymore. And I just feel it, you know, and I'm like, uh-oh. I just looked down and said, hello, because that's a sign of health. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you have PCOS. This is health. So you got to welcome, you got to embrace this, and let's move on. It's normal. You're going to, weight is going to fluctuate. You don't worry about it. You just keep going the right thing, the right thing. And then, the, you know, period is going to go down. You're going to go back to normal and you're going to just keep doing the right thing. But you see, immediately it's like, oh my God, I'm going to gain weight because I'm like, no, you're not going to gain weight. It's just, your body's is doing this and it's normal. But it is, you know, it's so easy for people who in these traumatic events, you know, to keep going back to the negative, although it's going right. But then they seek, you know, to bring the negative stuff.
Right. It's the self-sabotage piece.
Right. And then I told her and I said, look, I'm going to give you a test the next session. So now I'm going to work with her on a mindset piece because I've been working verbally, but now I'm going to give her a presentation to work on stuff on that. And then after she works on that, you know, then I'll say, now you complete the sabotage. And she's like, oh God. And I said, yes, because then you're going to learn.
Yeah.
You know, you need to learn your behavior. And I'm just speaking out loud what I hear here so you can pay attention. And I want you to write it down. Okay. Write it down. But this writing down is very powerful too.
Yes. Yes.
It's taken out from here.
Because when it's in here, we don't, it, and it's not on paper, it goes away. You kind of, you can rationalize that it didn't really exist.
And the clients who have the most success, they're doing that kind of work.
Yep.
They are actually
totally
being vulnerable because there's a vulnerability and also really they want to deal with the little devil, you know?
Yep.
The little thing that is behind there and sucking their mind, you know. And sometimes you cannot force anybody to do that, you know. And in guys, that's much harder, you know, for them to do this stuff. They don't want to do it. So anyway, I just want to share that because I continue to see that, you know, the success comes from doing certain things and we sticking to this mindset thing. It really, you know, it helps them to kind of move forward. And the ones who don't want to be helped on that, then you just got to say, hey, there are limitations and you're going to find limitations. You're going to find a wall and that's it. You know?
Yeah. And I think it's really important. Like I was saying earlier, there are people who do this on Facebook a lot. It's like the person won't do X, Y, and Z, which is what's going to be needed to turn their health around. What can I do instead? What can I offer them instead? You know, it's like, if you figure it out, let me know. Cause my magic trick box is empty when it comes to that.
Right. Right. Really. Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks for your thoughts on this.
Well, keep those things in mind for the presentation. Cause I think,
Definitely.
You can go from you can take that same presentation, 12 minutes. You can make it a 40 minute. You can compress it down and you want to make sure that you leave out the stuff like, don't put too many slides in there because you don't want to get to the end and start to rush through and feel like they feel like they missed something. So just handful of things, just the key points, and then close with something so impactful that they go, whoa.
Right.
Yeah, you can do it.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
So Martha says, after Tony said her remarkable answer to clients, it made me think of an attorney I knew who always won his cases. I asked him how it was that he always won. His answer was, I'll only take on cases I know I will win. We sometimes tend to take on anybody and everyone because we want to help. If we could tweak it to making sure that the client really wants the outcome, we will enjoy our success so much more. I love this, Martha. This lawyer I mentioned was so respected because he knew what he wanted to succeed. And he knew his clients well by the initial interview. And sometimes he said he couldn't help them. Maybe with a stronger questioning session, we can figure it out too. And I think we can definitely, and part of it is tuning into this. There have been people I've taken on where it's been like, oh, this is going to be a tough one. And it turned out to be not a good experience. And there's others you take on like, wow, this person really wants this. This person is going to be willing to do what it takes. Maybe not today and maybe not tomorrow, but they're willing to go on that path. And when you have the people who say, I'm never going to change my diet. What else do you have for me? Right. You have to be willing to walk and say, you know what? I don't have anything else. I have some herbs, but it all goes back to diet. Diet, mindset, sleep. There's some basic core things that you must be doing in order to get health, right? If you were building a house and you said to me, well, I don't have any wood and I can't get wood and I can't get any bricks. How can I build my house and make it strong? I have no clue. Because if you don't have the building blocks to make a house, you can't make a house. If you don't have the building blocks to make a healthy human, you can't make a healthy human. We don't have bypasses. We don't have like, oh, I don't want to do that part. I remember having that when I first started in practice. And I was my first person that I sent away. She said, sat down, took her history, cardiac stuff, family history. She was in her probably 60s or 70s. And I said, okay, so here's the steps that I want to work with you. I want us to, we can work together. I think at the beginning, it's going to take a weekly visit because there's a lot of changes. I want to look at some, you know, and I gave her a layout and she goes, well, I don't want to change my diet. Aren't there some supplements I could take? I said, well, yeah, there's some supplements you could take, but it's not going to make up for it. We can start with some supplements to help make up for some of the dietary inadequacies as we're helping you change your diet. And I started to lay that out. That would require, and I laid out like, I don't know, 7 or 8 different supplements that she would require as we were getting started. She goes, like, isn't there just one? Like, isn't there just like one herb I could take? I'm like, honey, you know what? This approach is not for you. You're looking for a medical approach, which is give me the one drug. I don't have that kind of thing. This requires you to make changes. I'll work with you. I'll work with you at the pace you want to do. I said, but if you're not willing to make changes, I can't help you. That was it. Didn't see her again. It was okay. So you have to be able to say goodbye to them and say, you know what? I don't think this is working. I remember having this conversation with Lynn. I said, if you're having a conversation with somebody, an enrollment conversation with somebody, and you get part of the way through and you realize this isn't going to work, don't make them an offer. Don't even make them the offer. Don't say, oh yeah, we can work together and I can do my 3-month program. Don't even make them the offer. Say, here's 3 things that I think might help you in moving forward. Have a good life. And hang up the phone. You don't have to make them an offer if you don't feel like it's going to be right for you or them. Thank you, Martha. Okay, I think we're at the end of our call. I'll see if there's anything else. Powerful questions are the key. Yes. Thank you for the 7K training tips. Yeah. Sticking with it, with love, Maria. I'm working with a client who weighs 538. Holy cow. Yep. Brandon, mindset is key. Anyone see the documentary Heal? No, I haven't seen that. Highly recommend it. Has the power to pull anybody out of the trap of their own mind. Very inspirational. Thank you, Brandon. I'll look for that. Yeah, and the checking with the meter, Janine pointing that out, is a gauge for somebody to know how is this food sitting in you. I think it's really important. And you'll see it when they start to eat their, you know, 3rd chicken breast and see their glucose go up and say, wait a minute, I didn't eat any pasta. Why did my glucose go up? All right. Thank you, everybody. Yeah.
I have a question, Dr. Rita Marie.
Sure.
Hi. I had a consult with a potential client. She's actually a yoga student that I've had from time to time. And she had contacted me. Initially, she mentioned that she had autoimmune. And then in speaking with her, she told me she has LADA.
Okay.
Which, you know,
I don't know a lot about. I'm almost finished with the IRSPT modules. From what I can gather from the Sweet Spot Solution program last year, from what I've heard you say about LADA, from what I'm learning from IRSPT, the treatment is, or the process is still very much the same, right?
It's similar, and you've got to add that layer of autoimmune, dealing with the autoimmune. I've got a presentation on LADA that I did for a conference last year.
It was the Diabetes Summit last March.
I did that, but I also have actually the slides. I'll see if I can find the slides and pop them up. But I did a more advanced, like a 2-hour thing at the NANP conference, it was the Canadian, it was one of those conferences I spoke at last year. And I'm looking for it right now. But yeah, it was, it would be under my speaker folder. And I had a lot of detail on it. And it was similar to what I did on the diabetes conference, but on the diabetes conference, I didn't have slides. So,
okay.
This was
that would really come in handy.
Let me see here. Speaking, let me just go a lot of, see if I can get this up here. No. Oh, I spelled it wrong. That's why. Let's see. No items match. NAMP, the nutritional, new frontier. Nope, that's not it. The little explored link between insulin resistance and autoimmune disease. This one, I think, is it. Let me see. And this has a lot of stuff on LADA. It also talks about type 2 diabetes being, I don't know if these are the final ones. They look a little bit rough, but let me see. Can I attach slides to the chat here? And let me see if I can do that. I think I might be able to. If not, I'll load them up to the website and I'll just post a link.
Share file in meeting. It looks like you can.
Yeah.
So I go to chat.
Yeah, and under more.
More. Okay.
Yeah.
Share. Lock meeting, clear all. I don't see that. Why?
Oh.
Huh.
When I click on more, it says save chat, share file, and meeting.
Huh. Yeah, it's same here.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe it's in a different place for you as maybe the it's in a different place.
Let me look over here under the list of participants. Okay, maybe it's under chat versus here, more under chat. Here we go, share file and meeting. I'll put it up here, and if it doesn't go through, I can always upload it later, but I don't know that this is the final one. It looks like it's like it was my original draft, but it still would be, let's see, power of food, the little explored link between insulin resistance and autoimmune. There we go. There you go. So that's up, it's uploading now.
Okay.
If that helps. But, you know, LADA is basically latent adult autoimmune disease, diabetes, adulthood. And it's basically, it's a type 1, but it usually comes on later. And it's not insulin resistance per se. It's actually, it's got the autoimmune component. So you basically would be wanting to test insulin antibodies, C-peptide, islet cell antibodies, et cetera. And then you treat it a little bit different. I mean, you still want to keep the low glycemic diet, obviously, because you want to decrease their need for insulin. You would be looking at, first thing out, if I suspected it, the cheapest way to start would be to do a fasting insulin and then do a postprandial insulin. If you see that the fasting insulin is high, it's not LADA. You know what I mean? If it's like the fasting insulin is above 5, it's probably not LADA. If you do a fasting insulin and it's 3, that's perfectly normal. Then you do a postprandial. So you do it like 45 minutes after they eat.
Uh-huh.
That's still 3 or 2. And you have them eat their highest carbohydrate meal that they normally would eat, right? So if that's, you know, oranges or grapefruit or pasta, whatever it is that that person would normally eat as a high carbohydrate meal, you'd have them do that. And then see where it goes. And it should go up. If it doesn't go up at all, that usually indicates that either it's a LADA situation or it's a type 2 that's gone to where the pancreas is burned out and now they can't make it anymore.
Okay. Right.
We should see the insulin going up. But if it's high, then we know it's not a LADA situation. And then from there, you can go and do the more expensive, because those antibody tests are expensive. It could cost $600.
Right. To do that kind of thing. She's taking insulin now.
Oh, she's already taking insulin.
Yep. She went, it took a while for them to diagnose her as having LADA. So she was on metformin and a few other drugs that I haven't even heard of. So they prolonged the process. And finally she went on insulin about 6 months ago.
Well, I'd be looking at dealing with the autoimmune.
Yeah.
Dealing with the gut, the leaky gut, looking to see if there's heavy metals, all the standard things we would do with autoimmune. One guy that I worked with, he was on 3 oral diabetic medications. They wanted to put him on insulin. He was a pilot. He knew his career was over as a pilot if he went on insulin. So I worked with him and I told him it would take a little while. And within 6 weeks, he was able to drop his hemoglobin A1C from 11 to 7. And his insulin, I told him, look, with the work we're doing, you may wake up one day with an insulin really low. Just keep aware and you're going to have to drop off some of those medications. He goes, oh, no, that's not going to happen. Like 4 days later, he calls me up and says, my glucose is 76 from 220 on 3 medications. That's why they wanted to put him on insulin. So all the things we know about and fasting, if she's open to it, and even if it's alternate day fasting, intermittent fasting,
yeah,
those sorts of things can be dramatic. You have to be careful if they're already on insulin that,
Yeah. Well, she gets hypoglycemic.
She's too much insulin. Yeah. Too much.
Okay.
Yeah. If somebody's on oral diabetic medications or insulin and they're saying they get hypoglycemic, the biggest thing to work with is to get them on lower doses and to regulate it. So monitoring, doing the standard testing, seeing what foods, and then altering their insulin dose. Guy I've been working with, he's on day 25 of his fast today, and he's off all medication, 100% insulin, metformin, blood pressure medication, and statins off of it.
Wow.
Okay, it can happen. Now, he's not LADA. He's a type 2, so it's different. But I think that there's so much you can do. Either delay the onset or to get that insulin dose down as possible. Yeah, and you want to see what the capacity is. That's why you do a postprandial. You do a fasting insulin, you do a postprandial. And if they still have the capacity and that is going up in response to a carbohydrate load, then that's a good thing, right? Then you know they can still produce it and that you want to minimize the exterior for as long as possible. But most of the time it's because they're uncontrolled. They're not controlling the food and they're taking it because the doctors don't know how to get it down otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's definitely got an inflammatory response going on. She's got really severe hip pain. She can barely walk.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to get her to look at the autoimmune part is something kind of new and alien to her. And honestly, I haven't heard back from her since the consult. I'm not sure if I was able to convince her that... that I could actually help her. So, I don't really know what to do at this point because I let her know how I could help her and we left it so that she would reach me.
You check back in. You say, hey, I really enjoyed talking to you last week. I've been thinking about a few things and this is definitely an inflammatory and getting the inflammation under control is going to be helpful. And I'd love to work with you on this. And whether it reduces your requirement for insulin or not, I know that we can help you to stabilize your blood sugars.
Right.
By, modulating as long as your doctor's willing to let you be in control of your insulin dose. And most of them are. Most of them just tell them, put her down it. And I can help you keep that stable. But see the long-term effects of being on insulin, the retinal damage, the cardiovascular stiffening. So we can help you prevent those long-term damage things. And if you want to work together, I'm here. If you're not ready right now, is it okay if I give you a call in 3 to 6 months and see where you're at?
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much what I said to her was that, we could at least arrest the progress by addressing the autoimmune component.
Make sure you're really clear what it means to arrest the because the people just say, oh, arrest the, that doesn't sound so sexy. But when you talk about that in terms of preventing hypertension, preventing the stiffening of your arteries, preventing the stiffening of your retina, preventing, all this stuff that's inevitable when you're on insulin.
Okay. And
that, you know, just, it's making sure that the benefits, they go, oh, I didn't realize, right? The doctor put me on insulin. I know that, you know, it's not great to have to take shots. I don't like it, but oh, I didn't realize that the insulin also had those negative downsides.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thanks. And just one more question. You know, this brain octane MCT oil.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that a lot of MCT oils come in plastic containers, and it really bugs me.
It bothers me too. I got one that came in glass, and I don't remember the name of it, but I somebody recommended it, and I found it on Amazon.
I do have a glass one, but it doesn't have the same percentage of caprylic acid as the brain octane.
I know. That's a hard one. I don't know why he insists on using plastic. Cheaper.
Well, I might send him a note mentioning something about that, because it just, you know, it sort of negates the whole purpose.
I know. It bothers me too. And it is high caprylic, although, you know, some people have an objection to that, like that isolation. So, you know, depending on what the person really needs, if they need that level of caprylic versus not.
Yeah. Well, when dealing with candida, right, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I mean, it just depends. It is a lot. Do you know, it depends. It really does depend. I mean, you can get caprylic acid as capsules as well. More wasteful, I think. But
okay. And then one last thing. You mentioned something about a ketone meter that you'd recommended.
Keto Mojo. Yeah. The one that everybody's been using for the last few years is this Precision Extra. But the Keto Mojo is new. The advantage of Keto Mojo is that the strips are like around $1 a piece versus the strips for this are over $2.
Okay.
So it's expensive, and I've been testing them side by side, and I like the Keto Mojo. It's real accurate. It's real similar. The Keto Mojo also, they both have both glucose and, the ketones, and the Keto Mojo actually tests hematocrit and hemoglobin. I'm not 100% sure about that because they're always different when I test it, but at least it's something. But yeah, the Keto Mojo is much more cost effective because the strips are under $1 a piece.
Do you see the potential of a meter that will test not only glucose but also insulin?
Oh God, I wish there was some, but you can't do it because the insulin, requires some kind of vacuum processing of the blood before they can test it, so there's no home testing for it. You have to send it away to get tested.
Okay.
There are strips that you do that I have a kit. I haven't done it yet, but where you do a little, you put the blood on the card, but then it has to go through a processing and the lab has to spin it. You can't actually measure it that way.
So when you're talking about postprandial insulin.
Yeah, you have to go to the lab.
Yeah, and that's usually ordered in the context of a glucose tolerance test.
It is, but you don't have to. You can go to Direct Labs. You can order two tests on separate requisitions. So you order insulin. You order another insulin. You take the first requisition to the lab. You go there in the morning. You have it tested on fasting. You go out to the car. You sit there for 45, you know, you eat, and then 45 minutes later, you go back in and have it done. Okay. It's a pain, but... They used to be the kit. Like I said, I have the kit, and it used to be really reasonable. The last time I looked, they were like $75 a test versus $35 if you go to the lab. So wasn't as effective.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, everybody. Hope that was good. I don't see any other questions popping up. If you have it, just open up your line. Otherwise, I'm going to say bye-bye. There's Tony. There's Maria. I'm going to open up everybody's line, unmute all. Bye, everybody. Have a great one.
Thank you. Great call.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
You can look at it. I don't really know much about it.